Good morning. This is the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. 4341790. That's the number you call to engage us on this Tuesday morning. You can send a WhatsApp message to 266-4862, 266-IVOB, or you can send an email to brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net. We go until 2, as usual, on this Tuesday, with our usual breaks for Regional Roundup, tracking the latest network news from Flow, the latest from Starcom Network News. John Stout, our technical operator producer, will take us through the morning and into the afternoon. I'm Dennis Johnson, your host. And we should be joined at 11 today by four people. And we'll have a discussion on the proposed blacklisting of Barbados by the OECD. Some background information on that, what it is, where we are, why we are, where we are. We hope to have that discussion sometime after 11. I looked at the newspaper, as I usually do, early in the morning, and the back page of today's Nation struck me as being a little interesting, because as the old school person, when I see hit in the bottle, I usually believe this person's having a alcoholic drink. And by an alcoholic drink, I mean beer, wine, rum, scotch, or whiskey if you prefer. But some of the things I saw listed there had me a little bit aged, because mixtures of Sprite and cough mixture. And when I saw Fanta, I thought Fanta was, you know, a soft drink. I don't know if there's something else called Fanta. And I wondered if it could be called hitting the bottle, because it seems that they're mixing things and drinking it and putting it in a bottle rather than, as I said, doing what you call hitting the bottle, which to me meant alcohol that's already packaged. The fight in trying to get young people to stay away from controlled substances, not engage in risky behavior, and not impair their health at too early an age is nothing new. What seems to have changed is what they use, the age at which they start using it, and the fact that some of the things they use, we have no labels prescribed for it. So while it was possible to put on a pack of cigarettes, smoking endangers your health, or saying you can't consume alcohol in the rum shop, even though you could buy it, you would have to consume it elsewhere. We never, I think back in my day certainly, looked at things like cough mixture and the various other things, inhaling paint and nail polish and abusing substances. So it means that the message about substance abuse has to change. If it hasn't changed to adapt with the times, perhaps it should change some more. And the manner in which the message is transmitted has to be twofold. One, to reach the young audience, and two, to advise their parents what to look for. And sometimes, depending on the age of the parent, you may have to change the type of message. We have, however, fallen into the pattern of one size fits all, and therefore we get a popular artist to sing or chant something and figure the message is reaching. Well, from the research printed in the newspaper, it either has not reached the target audience, or they're just ignoring it, in which case you still have a job on your hands. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning. I had only called to find out if anybody remembered Cubana. I think today is the 6th of October, is it?
It is, according to my calendar, yes.
Well, I heard no mention of the fall of the Cubana and the opening of Parliament in 1976. Do you remember it? Or are you too young?
I might be too old to remember things anymore, other than too young. I remember the Cubana crash. certainly it was one of the news items of the day. The fact that it does not resonate perhaps today in the same way is twofold. One, it's not on CNN or the BBC or any of the
or Skype, or whatever.
Might be on that. No, but I think over the years, the viewing patterns of Barbadians have changed, where cable now consumes and social media consume more of their time than anything else. So if
Chris
things like the Cabana crash are not brought back up, they won't remember.
Without a mask.
No, I think the incident just does not resonate with a population under 30. Let me put it that way. They don't read the newspaper. They would not have... The archives of the newspapers don't reprint things like this. The whole thrust of information has shifted. So if it's not on social media, if it's not currently being covered by one of the international networks, it's not gonna pop back. 9/11 came back because the international press highlighted it. But Cubana?
Because Castro is dead and Tom Adams is dead?
I don't think so. I think it's because because the source of information has changed. That I put it down to that. I won't put it down to those two gentlemen being deceased. But I will tell you, though, it still raises the question of how safe are we, how far away from international power brokering we are, and whether we are isolated as we believe we are from, what was it called then, international terrorism?
Well,
or international.
I cannot easily forget, because I had just finished teaching the morning and took a friend of mine to her home, and it was down by the university.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I heard this thing on the radio, and of course, the plane went down in that direction off the west of thing. And there was all this fuss, and I hurried back home because I was supposed to attend the opening of Parliament that day. And I mean, there was all this going and coming and great commotion and whatever.
And it was interesting that the territorial waters of Barbados mysteriously shifted at that time.
Mr. Barr had ideas about where it was and where it wasn't, and so on and so forth. And I remember even the night after the opening of Parliament, Dame Eugenia was feverishly getting in touch with Mr. Adams on a thing while there was the little get-together for people, and he was on the phone almost all night. Everybody was phoning to find out what and what and what and what, and so on. It was quite a thing. And you remember that we used to have a ceremony in years past. I don't remember, down in St. James. You remember that there used to be a ceremony?
Yes, correct. The laying of wreath at the
Castro and you,
at the monument.
And
the monument is still there. Taxi drivers still pause to not only show their guests the beauty of the West Coast from that particular point, but they actually show them the monument. People actually get out of the vehicles.
Yeah,
the only problem is there's no lay-by, so they block up the traffic. But it's there.
Some members of the Cuban thing usually went to the ceremony on the anniversary down St. James. I haven't heard even any mention of it on the radio this morning, so that is why I called.
Well, perhaps with the passage of time, the passions have cooled and the pain is receding into distant memory, and the monument will exist. And perhaps those who lost loved ones will remember, and Perhaps in time too that will pass. Perhaps this is what happens when people say you get closure. But the monument exists, and hopefully one day we will not ask why it's there, because it would have been removed completely from the minds of our nationals. But it was a tragedy indeed. Thanks for reminding us. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning. No, just let the lady know that Mr. Mears mentioned it earlier this morning.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all they call her. Let her know.
Okay.
That Larry has mentioned about this morning. Keep on here, Crash.
She missed it then.
Yeah, she did.
All right.
Definitely should. Yeah, okay,
sir. Thanks. People who listen to the radio. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, sir.
I try to make my voice sound important. Does it sound important enough?
I don't know. It depends. Does it sound important enough to you?
My it never sounds important to me. So, I mean, I'm not a recording specialist. I don't go in the, behind a microphone and try to impress people with the sound of my voice. I wish I could. But I'm not gifted that way.
So why don't you just enjoy the gifts that you were given? Rather than... you ever hear about the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, his ox, his ass, or his voice. Or his voice. How you know that? You read the update? Well, I just... then I just invent the last part. So what's your problem?
Well, yes, okay. Well, go ahead. Okay, I covet, and I covet with... You know, I like...
Apparently you do.
A gift that I wish I had. So I'll tell you that. Okay, you got a gift that I wish I had, and I'll say that point blank.
Okay.
I can't talk, you know, to song him. But I speak my mind anyhow. And I have every reason to doubt this whole COVID thing. I'm very sorry, but I do. I've always done that from day one. But I said, okay, let me give it a couple months, and let's see if it goes away. But apparently it's not going away. And apparently there
like
is
venereal disease.
Huh?
Like a venereal disease.
Or another coronavirus, AIDS. And now you're going back 35 years now, AIDS. But AIDS targeted a particular community, so nobody really gave a...
That's not true. Word. That's what they thought.
Yeah, but then it crossed over, and now all of a sudden it became an issue. And AIDS came out of nowhere. I mean, did it come from bats? You know, did it come from mice? I mean, that thing that you call the plague, I think, was also coronavirus. I don't know. I have to research that one there. But that came from rats. You knew the vector. Or the ticks on the backs of rats. You knew where that was coming from. Well, that's what they claimed years ago, but apparently it's changed since then. These things have vectors. We had, what's that one, the one that was 3 years ago that used to give people neck ache and everything else. I had signs up and everything. Chikungunya. You know, you knew the vector. That was mosquitoes. You know, mosquitoes spreading this thing. There's nothing you could do. You can't close the windows because they're going to find a way inside. So you had to deal with it. Deal with it. And if it was killing people or hurting people, deal with it, because there's nothing you could do about it. This particular guy ain't got no vector other than human beings. Well, he don't run around the back of dogs. He don't hide under no stones. This particular thing is spread by human beings. They're the only vector. They want to say, oh, it came from bats. Nobody can definitively decide that that is in fact true. I will say without any reason to be opposed is that it was invented in a lab. And not just last year, long time ago. But it came out. I mean, that's what the news were saying. Let us make the Chinese look stupid and say it escaped. And that's what they were saying in January or February. But you know something? The vector is a human being. A human being. And all you have to do is manage the human beings, which is not a problem for Barbados.
That is true. Anybody can manage you?
But he can manage my car because they managed me for 6 weeks and put me in my house and said, you cannot leave.
Man, that's not true. Leave. You would break it. Would break it.
I'm sorry?
You would break it.
I would break it?
You would break the lockdown unless somebody, you know,
no, I did.
Sealed
I
the windows.
I said, anybody else, I went out there because they would say, well, a policeman passed me and said, man, you shouldn't be outside. He said, well, okay, well, lock me up. No, boy, he ain't doing that there. Because they do things. Because human beings are manageable in a large
Most
sense.
Most of them.
All right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's the thing. I was alive when a prime minister of Barbados said to Barbadians, I will fingerprint you all. I can find a reason to fingerprint one. I can say, if you're leaving the airport or you're coming inside, you're going to have to get fingerprinted. People will, why? This is my personal information. Why should you? Pr- bec- because the passports of Barbados, the integrity of the passports, was being challenged. That's what the Prime Minister said to Mona. And y'all believed it. The integrity of the Barbados passport was being challenged. And I got to figure...
Control your language.
Oh, I'm sorry. But it's true. I mean, I don't understand why you people are so falling for this nonsense. He's going to fingerprint everybody because the integrity of the passports is being challenged. And except, of course, for the ambassadors. And it was challenged in court. And you think about the judges in the judge didn't find fault with the Prime Minister, but they make Canada there, because after all, they are chosen by the Prime Ministers. They may find fault. They found fault with the way it was done. The process. And that is why it was kicked out. You cannot be taking passports of people because you have to come again, but do it correctly this time. This negative resolution thing apparently was inappropriate. At least it was not done correctly.
Who does the passport belong to?
Sorry?
Who does the passport belong to?
Well, I mean, come on. The passport is supposed to be the property of an individual that
no,
has
it is not,
international
sir.
Merit.
No, sir, it is not.
Oh, okay, but...
You ever read the back of a passport?
No, not really.
You should.
You see?
There you go. Unfortunately for you and the general public, I like to read. The passport says this document belongs to the government and can be withdrawn at any time for whatever reason.
Oh, I get
it. It don't belong to you?
No, I get it.
You are being facilitated by Your Majesty the Queen to travel when you carry that document in your hand to certain places that recognize the passport.
Does it mention the Queen?
And yes, it does, sir.
Oh, okay. Right? I gotta read it again.
And
oh,
so,
for the first time.
So, yeah, please read it again for the first time. Because It is a very interesting document.
Well,
it does
fine.
Not
that's
belong to you.
Well, that's fine. But I get it. And it should not belong to me either. Otherwise, I will, you know, take it and run it with this somewhere.
And,
but here's
and,
the thing.
And impugn the integrity of the document. So,
yeah,
let me
but,
say
but,
to you,
know,
you
but since,
let,
but since
let me be
happened.
Serious. Let's be serious, okay? Maybe the way they did it was wrong. Maybe you're not happy with the explanation, and a person should always question the motives of a government. That's their right, and they should.
Exactly.
But hold on, sir.
But if the government was serving in my interest or the interest of small developing states or in the interest of the third world, I would say, well, that is fine. But after Frundle's tour, I have been able to say to myself, without any reason to be doubting, when you adopt myself, is that these governments don't particularly serve in our interests. They do not.
But
because
sir,
after that challenge was done, there was never a mention of this integrity passport foolishness. It was done. Not even the members of the opposition at the time came out and said, oh, but you know something? Okay, we lost in the court. Let's do it again and make sure we are fingerprinted. It was done.
Sir, let me point out to you that over a period of time.
I'm sorry?
Over a period of time, there have been challenges with persons selling their Barbados passport. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. It happens all over the world.
Right.
In fact, overseas, they actually sell this thing called international diplomatic passport.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who are changing pictures.
Yeah, I'm not talking about the passport. I'm talking about the issue.
Right.
The issue was
so
a
therefore,
big deal.
So, and therefore, but therefore, if you have places like the United States and other places where you would use your passport to travel that begins to question the integrity of your passport and give your nationals difficulty in quote-unquote traveling freely across the borders, should you not take steps to make sure that you safeguard it? Which is why they wanted to change the passport and put in all sorts of data.
Of course, but that was not the situation, was it? Because if that was the situation, then it will be the situation. No. All of a sudden, in 2016, it was a big problem. But in 2018, 2019, 2020, it's not a problem anymore. Why? Because it was not a problem in the first place. These prime ministers do not serve in my interests, and they will fingerprint you if given the opportunity to do so. And that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
This COVID thing
so
was
never
supposed to be a problem.
No,
this COVID thing was a shutdown thing. Shut everything down for 1 month or 5 weeks, and then come back and make people wear masks for 2 or 3 weeks afterwards. This will demonstrate, okay, there's no community spread. All right, so we can go on with our lives after that third week as normal. But all of a sudden, like 6 months into the program, we still queuing up outside the banks. Look at the polyclinic there in Black Rock. They got all that space inside. The polyclinic got about 30 chairs. 30 chairs on the inside. And those clowns have got people standing up outside in the car park.
Okay, sir. All right. Let me say it to you. That you have one or two options as a citizen of Barbados. You can protect yourself or you can choose not to. That's the options given to you. Take your pick. I have a message from our newsroom. A severe thunderstorm warning is in effect for Barbados. This alert message is valid from 9:10 a.m. today, Tuesday, 6th October, will be terminated at noon today or sooner if conditions warrant. A severe thunderstorm warning is issued when significant lightning activity is expected in a short period of time, generally less than 6 hours, or has already occurred within the warning area. Severe lightning activity associated with scattered thunderstorms is expected along northern and northwestern communities. I also saw a message here saying that out in the area of where Winnie resides, there is flooding. It's flooded out. So perhaps she will give us a call. I am sure if things get rough. Yep. 434-1790 Brass Tacks. Good morning. Oh, yeah, and there was another message that saying there was supposed to be a commemorative ceremony at the memorial for the Cubana crash, and perhaps the weather conditions may have affected the ceremony, but there was a message saying that it was ongoing. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir, good morning.
You hear me? Okay.
Clearly.
This is a connection. Oh, okay. I couldn't hear you at first.
Okay.
Right. This is a connection with an article I read this morning on the front page of the Daily Nation, where the a body of churches want to protest the same-sex union recognition of the Barbados government. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess find this it's bothersome to me at the end of the day. Reason being, right, I am not by any chance gay or anything like that, but I'm now a father of two. And years ago, I used to referee. And in one particular game, these guys found out that this guy was gay. So the game got very, very physical. So myself and the other referees made a decision, well, we have to have a conversation about whether or not to continue, let the game continue for the safety of the guy. So we went to the guy, the other coach's name, which is the guy that was gay, was playing for, and we asked him, well, you don't take him out of the game so that the game would not be that physical or he wouldn't get to any harm.
Mm-hmm.
So the coach said to us straight, why, he should be able to play. So at the end of the day, we had to take it upon ourselves, the referees now, to actually control that game so that this guy was protected. At the end of the day, we were branded as gay-loving people. But then I said to one of the guys, now what if that was your son? How would you feel if someone was doing that to him? And he was like, but he don't support nothing, so whatever the case may be. But this is the question he's got asked. I asked him of the churches, no, in the world. What they take offering from those same said gay persons that they're fighting against having recognition of a basic right, the right that if they are married and their union is recognizing by it, that they have a right to say what happens to their partner. Right? That's all I'm asking for, is for people to look at it on other shoe. If it was them, would they want this persecution?
I think the issue of gay rights, or even the term gay, is associated with an activity that most Barbadians, if not all Barbadians, are very familiar with and have tolerated for eons. They may have ridiculed persons who they believe were quote-unquote, and I put in inverted commas so that it sounds the way they would say it, that way inclined. Once they didn't try to become mainstream. And therefore, the challenge is for a section, especially the churches is marriage was recognized as a church activity ordained by God. And they see it as an intrusion and a corruption of their faith and belief in what is called, and again I'm putting it into inverted commas, the sanctity of marriage. Now, I'm putting that part into inverted commas because very often the persons making the most noise about the sanctity of marriage have not respected that sanctity at all. Right? But unfortunately, that particular one is so widespread and it's not considered an abomination that it's possible to turn a blind eye to it. The other one is not. So this thing that we call the separation of church and state does not exist in the minds of a section of the population. Whether it's the most, the more, the less, I have no idea. And there are some who say, you know what, it doesn't bother me one way or another. What the state chooses to do, the state chooses to do. What the church chooses to do, the church chooses to do. The problem is when one tries to instill its will on the other, you will have conflict. That's what causes conflict in any circumstance. My belief is greater than yours. My power is greater than yours. My thing bigger than your thing. And then it becomes this us versus them clash. And then the question becomes, is it a right or is it not a right? So the church defending its turf is expected, at least for me. I expect that they would do it. Now, whether it has any bearing on what the state chooses to do is something I wait to see what happens.
Yeah, but this is my philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
As you are so outright and against something,
mm-hmm.
right, you should have nothing to do with it at all. Which meaning, as I said earlier, they should stop taking offering altogether. Reason being, you cannot tell if it's coming from someone that's straight, gay, crooked, or whatever case may be.
They could be converted, right? I suppose.
No,
based on the amount that they give and how much you pray for them.
So you're telling me, all right, one of the biggest gay activists in the world, Sir Elton John, was to come to Barbados tomorrow and say, okay, I'm going to give $10 million to the churches in Barbados. Are you telling me each church will say they don't want it or they will take it?
Well, just for your information, the Elton John Foundation has given millions to the fight against HIV/AIDS. Some of it may have reached Barbados in our fight against the AIDS pandemic. I don't know. At least I think the Elton John Foundation was listed as one of the contributors to the Live Up campaign mm-hmm. that ran on all our radio stations.
But again, you see, at the end of the day, all these persons are asking for is dignity. I can say.
But, sir, if there are people who believe that what they're doing does not deserve dignity, they will fight against it. Sir, listen, this same argument is presented, I heard on the program when I produced it last on Friday. Persons who had been to jail, persons who had spent time in jail, persons who had paid for their crime, saying, look, give us a break. We did wrong. We paid for it. Why are we still suffering? And there are people who are saying, you should not be out at all. You kill people, you rape people, you should still be in there suffering. So this question of dignity shifts in people's minds depending on who's asking to be dignified. That's a human reaction, you know. So you know what the fight, this fight is? The reaction of human beings to what they perceive to be against their principles. And I don't see it as a fight that anybody will win. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because unfortunately, that's how it, look, I say to people all the time, right? In my hierarchy of things that I pay attention to, the laws of the land always fall into third place. Why? Because I think their laws sometimes are unjust. And if I think a law is unjust, guess what? I will not respect it. That's my personal choice. I'll have to deal with the consequences, but I won't accept it. Right? There are people who will say, look, I will do whatever I want to do once I could, quote unquote, get away with it. is when I don't get away with it, I hope I got a lawyer that could defend what I was doing. It's the same thing with our relationships with people, whether they be sexual or emotional or any other. It's the same reason why people will go to church on Sunday, walk out of church after asking forgiveness and praying on their knees and giving thanks and shaking hands and go by somebody's wife and interfere with the marriage because they feel they could get away with it. There are no consequences to the action. And next Sunday, they go back to church again. And they shout from the highest that you're a thief or I'm a crook. Because that's the law they did not break. Sir, that's human nature. We point out in others the things we don't like in ourselves sometimes, or the things we did and get away with it. I know there's a chuckle in my voice because I know people put names on it. They say, you know, oh yeah, hypocrite. And I don't put names on it. It's just human behavior. Until faced like you did, where you have to face it in front of you because somebody is getting beat up on, or somebody you know admits that they are homosexual, or somebody you trusted all along suddenly tell you, you know what, my wife and I are very married, you know, we just fronting. I have this other relationship going. And you make a decision. Whether you look at them and scorn them, or whether you say, brethren, you know, if I could help you, I will. Or you tell them, stay away from me and my family. I won't have nothing to do with you. And we take that personal decision. It is when it comes down to the state saying, this is what we recognize and you don't recognize it, that's when it runs into trouble, sir.
But that's the part, the wording that was used by the president, speech.
Yep, I do.
She said recognition. She never said anything else.
And it was also said that if it's going to be legalized, there'd be a referendum.
A referendum.
Yeah.
Correct. The choice is still ours at the end of the day, but she said, if a couple leaves the U.S. or U.K. and comes to Barbados to live here for a year with the whole extended passport thing, kind of way of calling it right now, mm-hmm. and if something, God forbid, happened to one of those partners and a decision has to be made, because we don't recognize it, you cannot say yeah or nay.
Yeah.
You understand? And that, to me, is unfair.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, when it gets to the House, I am sure there will be persons who will abstain. There will be those who will speak on it. It is one of those things we talk about for a while, sir. And then perhaps like with abortion and other issues, it will go on the back burner. The recognition of live with and the removal of that word called bastard. Perhaps. But there'll be a lot of discussion before that ever happens. And acceptance too. Yep. I thank you for your contribution, sir. Brastax, good morning.
Morning, sir. How are you keeping?
I'm trying to keep good.
Keep on doing that. They want to borrow one, your word. Mm. You know how many you read something and it seemed to be, but you said, really? They said that this morning when I read the page of primary school children consuming alcohol. And I asked myself, what could cause this? You know, people always talk about what people are doing. I hardly ever hear anybody ask what caused it. And there's what need to be. There's a very serious thing, you know, as far as I am concerned. Primary school children?
You surprised? You surprised? Why?
Yeah, I am.
Why? So let me ask you something. When you were young and you had a toothache, your parents ever rub alcohol on your gums?
Later on to hold it, you can, but you have to spit them out.
Okay. They ever put a shot of rum in your teeth to get it to go to sleep?
Yeah.
Okay. You ever look at a bottle of cough syrup? You know, yeah. What's the, you know what's the alcoholic content of cough syrup?
But to be honest, if I don't.
You should.
I don't.
You ever look at Angostura aromatic bitters? The alcoholic content on that greater than almost any alcoholic beverage on sale that I could think of off the top of my head. Right? And here's the thing. There are people who put a little Angostura aromatic bitters in some water and drink it because they got an upset stomach. Or they give it to their children. So it is always a case of being fed until it becomes part and parcel of your life. So it is a matter of how we manage the alcohol. You notice the newspapers say that people find what they're drinking at home? It is the mixture that children are getting up to that's confusing the adults, because they're not taking a shot of rum. They're not drinking a glass of wine. They're not having a beer. They're mixing all sorts of things. They're going and getting cough mixture from inside the cupboard and mixing it with bitters and mixing it with something else and getting high. They're sniffing glue, Yoo-hoo glue, that is used to stick things in the class when you have a project. They're using nail polish, things that don't have a warning label on it, and things that you as a grandparent or me as a parent don't know.
So tell me, Sandra, why you can't you be the grandparent or the parent?
Because you have grandchildren and I don't have any. My children, I frighten my children, apparently. Look, let me say this to you. A parent said to me that they discovered that their daughter was using mosquito coils or some kind of thing and sniffing the vapor from mosquito coil. Really? A mosquito coil? You put on mosquito coil to keep mosquitoes off, you know, to sit there and smell it again.
To me, that's very annoying, the scent of that too. But
well, there you go. So I agree with you when you say we have to find out why. We have to find out what is happening to our children that at a younger age, or what is seemingly a younger age, because I know I had alcoholic drinks prior to 10 and 11 years old. And trust me, it is stronger than anything they have in the Jack Iron and a white rum called Clark's Court that could peel off paint. You could use it as a paint thinner. But anyhow, the thing is, though, we have to find out why it is our children are dependent on substances and abusing it at a tender age. There has to be a reason. Why it is we have to psychoanalyze our children at age 5 and 6. Why are people saying that you go to the nursery, pre-age children, and boys pushing their hand down the girl pants and walking up on her? That's not a childish behavior, sir. A 5-year-old don't do that unless they've actually seen it or experienced it or been exposed to it at some level. So if there's a 5-year-old child pushing his hand down a girl pants, or a girl pulling at a 5-year-old boy penis and walking up on it, their parents should be taken to court because somebody showed them.
There is something I want to clarify for Alvin. And they said yesterday he probably misunderstood me. Something in relation to something that Leslie has said. When I mentioned Stevie Wonder, Clarence Carter, Gray Charles, and Jose Feliciano, I was just trying to fact they are all blind.
Correct. Jose Feliciano too.
I'm not good at pronouncing words, but if you didn't understand what you can correct me. So I'm going to worry about pronunciation where you want. All I was saying is we would have labeled them as being disabled. But you know what we have in Bangladesh? Mm-hmm. You know what we have in Bangladesh? A disability that almost every, I'm not saying all, everybody in it have. You know what that disability is? Disability of the brain and the mind. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know that Stevie Wonder can play every musical instrument that you put in front of him.
So when you lose one sense, you develop another. That's the guiding principle, I suppose. Right. These guys are specially talented. They're gifted. They're persons with disabilities who, if their work is highlighted. I did a Sunday program where I played a whole set of artists and I mentioned the disabilities from persons who have asthma that play the saxophone because it helps with their breathing, right down the line to Seal, who has lupus, their medical conditions. Look, there's a guy I saw in Grenada some years ago called Mr. Sandiford. He had his arms ended at the elbow, and he had one digit, a finger. Children used to laugh at him and call him the one finger man and tease him because his elbows, he didn't have a hand below the elbow, and he used to drag himself along too. He had a problem with his legs as well. I remember one day standing and staring at Mr. Sandiford, and my mother grabbed me by my shoulder and said, come, come, because she thought I was staring at him because of his disability, but it wasn't that. And I told her why, and she let me stand and look at him. Mr. Sandiford had a paintbrush between his elbow and this one digit, and he was painting a no parking sign on the road. And I couldn't paint a straight line with a ruler. He was doing it without guidance. He was doing it based on the weathered, weather-beaten, no parking sign. A paintbrush held between the crook of his elbow and on his knees. Sir, you're right. Sometimes the disability is in our mind.
We have to stop this writing off of people, whether it's because of age or lack of physical function, right? And I think it's coming up. Probably if the younger people will listen to the older people, if the older people can talk to the younger people, things about this place will be very different. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you as well. Someone said to me, I drink Angostura bitters and I get drunk. It does soothe my tummy, yes, but I also get drunk. There's a lady who worked with me at Haywood's who always talked about her strong Christian beliefs and that she didn't drink alcohol, but she would take Angostura bitters and water for her upset stomach. And one day she said to me, I'm going home, I feel a little giddy. And I said, don't drive, you're drunk. And she said, I don't drink. I said, hang on a second. I went to the bar and I got a bottle of Angostura bitters and I brought it back. I put it on. I said, look at the alcoholic content of that. You've been drinking this all morning. You're drunk. Don't drive home. Take a taxi. Let me drop you home, but don't drive because you're drunk. She stared at the bar. She did not believe me, but she found out. Yeah, at least you know you're drunk. She didn't. She just thought that, you know, she was a little giddy. Sometimes we don't know what we're giving our children. Gripe water, that is alcohol. But that's why cough mixtures, some of them say, do not drive, do not use heavy-duty equipment or, you know, operate heavy-duty equipment. That's the word they have on it. Because you hurt yourself. You are impaired, I think is the correct term. Now, when we introduce breathalyzer testing, it would be interesting to find out if it can determine the level of alcohol, if what you had was cough mixture or gripe water or something other than a beer. 4341-790 Brass Tacks, good morning. There's a flood warning in effect as well, I should have added from that message from Stetson earlier. And so just be careful on the roads, please. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. You mentioned last week that somebody was going to call you back based on your discussion about research and development at university.
University, yes. You are the person.
Yes, I am the person. And you know, everybody knows my voice. You know. But of course, when it comes to two things, the University of West Indies, Careful Campus, and credit unions, you know I will call. My concern is that the issue of research and development at a small campus like the University of West Indies Caerphilly is a complex one because, as you know, we have a situation where research and development calls for resources, and therefore it has to be a partnership between the university, the private sector, government, and philanthropists, etc. And the truth is, a lot of work is done by the university. It is their many people don't take the time to find it. But I want to speak to some of the challenges, because I think at the heart of it, to say that you don't see X or Y or the university should be doing this without understanding what has to happen with the, you know, the requirements for research is a critical thing. The fact is that unless the beneficiaries of the research are willing to participate, for example, by sharing information, et cetera, then you may have a problem. I'm going to switch phones. Sorry, I was holding on so long that my phone is
going dying.
Out.
Okay.
I just was able to switch.
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is that unless the university can get buy-in, that is the willingness to support the research agenda, the willingness to finance the research agenda, and to provide the, what is the word I would want to use, the conditions and the issues for research, we're going to have some challenges. The university, in addition to that, is what I would describe as a small university, heavily oriented towards undergraduate teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, you have, if you compare the university with other institutions, there's a heavy load in relation to lecture to students. And therefore, any individual lecturer has to juggle his or her teaching program as well as, you know, developing that research agenda. And I would contrast that with large universities in North America and Europe, for example, excuse me, where the faculty, they have research assistants, teaching assistants, who can go in to do their, you know, a lot of their research, whether it be in the library, in the field, or whatever, or in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they have a much better capacity to do the two things. In fact, sometimes their teaching load is carried heavily by teaching assistants. And I say that from my experience as a graduate student, both in Ohio and in Louisiana, where, you know, I saw it and I participated in programs like that. So I would want to say that people, before they critique the issue of
research and development,
to understand what it is, and in fact, look to see what has been done, but also look to identify support. And I smile because when I heard the discussion, I think it was with somebody with my surname, it was Dr. McLean.
Yes, it was Dr. DeRoy, yes.
Roy McLean.
Mm-hmm.
I remembered my days at UE when I was part of a team looking, reviewing the work of the Department of Management Studies, I think it was, and looking at how it could be redesigned.
Mm-hmm.
And one of what I would call the leading businessmen in Barbados at the time, who at the time headed one of our major conglomerates, would have been part of a discussion. And I turned to some of my graduate students and I said to them, look, you know what? You need to speak to this gentleman about some research work, that some projects that they were contemplating.
Mm-hmm.
And the nature of the project would have been of the type that would have assisted in sharing information and helping develop, you know, what I would say solutions to some of the issues that indigenous companies were facing. And lo and behold, having sat and participated in the discussion and called on the university to do X, Y, and Z and spelled out the importance of research and development, said to the person, but we can't share that information with you. You know, so right away I just smiled because I said, you know, there's a lot of talk and heat about that, but that is not the case. I mean, and if you look at the, back to the notion of small university and this, you know, heavy loads, et cetera,
mm-hmm.
That is a reality. So my suggestion is that what we need as a society to do, as a region to do, is to find ways to partner with the university, whether it's large private companies, whether it is groups of bodies representing the private sector, whether it's government, whether it is regional, national, regional, international, philanthropic entities to do exactly that. But I just wanted to share that with you. But since you have me talking about university, there was something I tried calling in on before, and that has to do with the naming of the campus, or rather, let me say, not the naming of the campus.
Suggestion that the campus be renamed.
I would put it as it should be, the honoring of the late Prime Minister mm-hmm. and Professor Oenasa, somebody who I worked with, and I came into contact from the 1982 when I started teaching at KFL. And later on, when he was lead of the opposition and teaching part-time in my department, we had to work closely together. And to say that the honor is important, within the context of the university, there's a tradition. Mm-hmm. I note that the Prime Minister at the time had called on the Vice Chancellor, but that, I'm sure, is a decision of council. And I am sure the university will not create issues regionally by moving away from the tried and tested way of naming programs, centers, buildings, etc., and we'll do that. But my last comment, and this is what I will call the political comment now, because I was speaking as somebody to whom the University of West Indies is near and dear, mm-hmm. and I must ask the question, having sat in cabinet, and I can state now publicly, having chaired the Honors Committee for 10 years, that was not public knowledge, and rightly so. There's a process by which government, on the basis of nomination, and then final decision by the Prime Minister, would honor Barbadian. And I find it passing strange to use an expression that a lot of people like to use, that two iterations, 2 years of honors went by, 2018 and 2019. And the Prime Minister did not on either occasion recognize the contribution of Professor Arthur, who was the longest serving Prime Minister, but who also would have been instrumental in many ways, you know.
Suppose he didn't want it?
Pardon me?
Suppose he didn't want it?
Well, I would hope if that is the case, she might have said so. But if you're saying that if he doesn't want a national honor, I'm not sure he wants an honor from the university. If he does, and he did say so, then you should say so. But to finish the point I was making, mm-hmm. I find it strange that in those two times, nothing was done. So the question is there going to be a national honor in the form of what happens in that honoring process? Mm-hmm. Or are we seeing the buck pass to the university to honor him? So I just need to say, I tried on several occasions to get him when that discussion was very current and topical. Mm-hmm. But I was talking about UWE. I thought that I would add it
drop
here.
That in. Let and me ask I you.
You're moving on to a very heavy topic. So thanks for hearing me.
Well, let me just ask you this question before you go.
Sure.
You mentioned research done at UWE. If there has been research done at the university, is it on their website? Is it in the library? Where can someone find any research that has been done?
What I can tell you is that, and I left the university as a full-time lecturer. Oh, my gosh, I'm aging myself in 1999. Mm-hmm. But I was associated as a part-time lecturer in the graduate program, et cetera, subsequently. But, I mean, it's been a long time, and that association would have ended back in 2007 even. But there are several publications. The university has its website. What I would say is if you want to find, you can Google research in history, research. I think that if nowadays the search engines are such that you can very quickly do that. But I am sure somebody from the university, their public relations person, I'm not sure if that's his name, Chelston Lovell,
yeah.
Used to be at CBC. But there are several sources. I know that departments in the annual reports of the university, which probably are online, publish research information mm-hmm. from time to time. But I think maybe what you're saying is that people need to hear a lot more. But there's also a university television station from time to time.
Yes, there is.
It happens, mm-hmm. and I see references. So it is for them to share that. But I can tell you that a lot of work has been going on, whether it's in the medical sciences, whether it's in the social sciences, in terms of issues in history, the natural sciences, as they used to call it in my day, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of work is done, but I think it is really, the truth is that sometimes it might be useful sometimes to spend a little bit of time, but maybe that is not as wanted. People like to call it as sexy or as controversial as some people may want. So maybe from time to time you can grab somebody from the university and get some ideas of what they're doing.
I will check with Charleston. Thank you very much.
That. I think I owe it to my alma mater. I spent almost 18 years of my life teaching there. I gave my youth to the university. So
I was wondering who you gave it to. Okay.
You have a good hour.
You too. I will try. Thank you very much. It is a minute after 11, and as promised, I am joined on the line, I can see, via Zoom by a couple persons who promised that they would be with me this morning. So let me just scroll here to make sure I have the names correctly. I am joined by Ben Arundel, the Special Advisor to the Prime Minister on International Business, Mr. Kevin Hunt, the Director of International Business, and he will have with him two other members of his team, the Deputy Director and the Principal Legal Officer of International Business. Ladies, I think there are two, and a gentleman, good morning, and thank you for joining us on Dr. Brass Tacks.
Good